Across America, it's The Weekend with Joe Pags. To talk to Joe, call 800-501-7080. And now, The Weekend. Here's Joe Pags.
Great to have you along for the ride. Thanks a lot for stopping by. It is The Weekend with Joe Pags, and there's a lot going on. There really is. There's a lot going on. I was talking to Damian before we started the program today. I was like, man, I just want to wake up one day, and Afghanistan is fixed, and COVID is gone, and we're all just whistling Dixie and skipping down the road. But that's not happening today, is it? So today we'll have U.S. Representative Tony Gonzalez. He is from Del Rio, Texas. Del Rio is where there are 10,000-plus illegals attempting to come across the border, most of them from Haiti. We'll talk about how Haitians are involved somehow. Usually it's Guatemala, Honduras, and El Salvador. Now it's Haiti for some reason, so we'll talk about that. We also have Sheriff Mark Lamb on, Pinal County, Arizona, talking about the border as well. Also talking about policing in America and how defunding the police just isn't working. Doesn't make any sense. And we'll have Sean Spicer on, the former press secretary of the United States of America for the White House. And he's responding to Jen Psaki, who is just a liar. Liar! Liar! Sorry, I missed the button. And she's going after Sean Spicer for some reason, which is completely outside of protocol. Doesn't make any sense. So we'll have all that and then some. But I want to start with these vaccine mandates. You're hearing these stories about restaurants asking restaurateurs, asking those who are patrons to prove that they're vaccinated. It's very weird. It just is. Can you imagine? There was this family, happened to be a black family, so that somehow changed the story, that went to a pizzeria in New York, and the people were asked, the family was asked, to show their vaccination status. You see, in New York, there's a new law. If you want to go eat somewhere inside, if you want to go to the gym, if you want to go watch a show, you have to literally prove to them that you've had a medical procedure. And if you don't prove to them that you've had this medical procedure, you can't eat there. You can't work out there. You can't go and enjoy the show. This is where we are in what used to be the freest, most liberated country on the planet. We're not anymore. We're just not. I'm guessing there's more freedom somewhere, because it's not happening here. So let's break it down. Are these laws, or are these mandates, or are these rules constitutional? I would say no, especially if you want me to believe the Roe v. Wade result back in 1973. If you want me to believe that a woman has the right to medical privacy between her doctor and herself, therefore she can off the unborn child. I mean, you know you can't have that at the same time tell me I have to tell you whether I got a shot or not. You do realize that, right? I hope you do. And let me say something that's going to sound controversial, but it's not. It's just fact. If I get the vaccination, which I have not gotten, I can still get COVID and I can still spread it. I can still get it and I can still spread it. So those who are saying this is a pandemic of the unvaccinated are dead wrong. It's not. Because the vaccinated can get it and they can spread it. Now, what do these vaccines do? The allegation is the vaccines will help you survive the symptoms. The symptoms are not as harsh and as deadly if you've been vaccinated. That's what the studies are showing. By the way, Pfizer had a setback yesterday. The FDA, a panel for the FDA, said no to approving a booster shot, like a third shot or something now. The FDA actually said no, which was startling to me because they just pretty much have been in line. Pfizer has the one vaccine that is approved for those 16 years old and older. Between 12 and 15, it's under emergency usage authorization. Under 12, it's not authorized at all, although Fauci wants all kids going to school to be vaccinated. That's how stupid this entire thing is. Is COVID real? Yes. Is it deadly? Yes. Did it come from China? Yes. Are the Chinese on the hook for this? Should be. For some reason they're not, but they should be. Did it come from a wet market? Probably not. Did it come from the Wuhan lab? Probably. Does hydroxychloroquine work? Studies show it, along with zinc, is helpful. Does ivermectin work? That's been prescribed by your doctor, not some horse medicine from the farm and ranch store. Yeah, if it's prescribed by a doctor, then it's helpful. Many doctors believe that. Does my not being vaccinated affect you and your family? Not in the least. Not even a little bit. Should I have to show a passport before I can eat a pizza? No. No. Stupid. No. If you are somebody who's vaccinated, God bless you. I'm not an anti-vaxxer. If your doctor says you should get vaccinated, God bless you. Get vaccinated. If your family and you decide and your higher power decide you should get vaccinated, go for it. I'm down. I am not against vaccinations. I'm against you telling me I have to get vaccinated. Let me say it again, because there's a little bit of confusion here. People don't seem to listen to the radio as closely as they should, because I've seen stuff on my Facebook page by some of you that says, oh, Pags had COVID, and he has been vaccinated, and he was stunned that he got vaccinated and still got COVID. No, I have not been vaccinated. I'm young, healthy, in decent shape, don't have a comorbidity, I'm not obese, I don't have diabetes, I don't have asthma, and my doctor has not suggested I get vaccinated, so I don't feel like it, and I'm not going to. Now, if my family members want to, they can. Hell, some of them might have. If my friends want to, they can. Hell, some of them have. They're still my friends, I'm still fine with them, everything's good. Now, when we talk about variants, Delta variant, Lambda variant, your mama's butt variant. When we talk about variants, the idea that somehow the unvaccinated are causing variants is not something that's logical to me. Not an epidemiologist, but I'm also not a hypocrite like Fauci, so I wouldn't hang my head on being my head on being an epidemiologist these days. But if I'm not vaccinated, that means that the original COVID-19 that came from the Chinese Communist Party, that has been the scourge of the earth for the past almost 2 years. Why would it have to mutate to affect me if I'm not vaccinated? If I haven't taken the vaccine, and who knows, I might have had COVID. I don't know. I've never taken a test. I might have natural immunity at this point. I might have antibody. I don't know. But if I haven't taken the vaccine, that means that I am susceptible to getting COVID-19, right? And I don't have a vaccine that's going to make the symptoms easier on me, right? Why, if you're COVID-19, pretend you're COVID-19 for a second. Everybody, right now, pretend you're COVID-19. Why would you mutate to affect me? The original COVID-19 would do all sorts of stuff to me, right? So why would the vaccinated somehow tell the unvaccinated, we're the reason for the variants? I don't understand that. How exactly is my unvaccinated status causing a variation in the original disease? Now, if you've been vaccinated and the original disease is not as effective, wouldn't you assume that you would be the cause or the reason why there would be some sort of mutation and variation? I mean, just use common sense now. I don't hear about the CDC or the NIH or Fauci or Biden. Or AOC. I want to hear about logic and common sense and rationale. This isn't left versus right. This isn't pro-vax, anti-vax, because as I said, I'm not anti-vax. Go get vaccinated. I'm fine with that. Although some of you think because I'm on the radio, I have some weird responsibility to get vaccinated, take a video of it, and put it out on my social media to make you go get vaccinated. That's stupid and un-American. But tell me how this is a pandemic of the unvaccinated, when those who are vaccinated, I would believe, would cause stronger strains, different variants, and a disease that can't affect you as much anymore. That makes sense to me. But I haven't heard one person, not an epidemiologist, not a medical doctor, not a researcher, not anybody from the NIH or CDC or AMA, explain to me how my not getting vaccinated is making the pandemic continue. That if I went and got vaccinated, somehow we would stamp it out, even though you can still get it and you can still spread it if you're vaccinated. Nobody's explained it to me. I want it explained because I consider myself somebody who's a deep thinker. I really think through topics. I really think through issues. I really think through troubles that are happening inside or outside of the house, inside or outside of the school, inside or outside of my workplace. I try to think through them and say, okay, what's a really good plan that makes sense while still keeping freedom and liberty? Remember when Arnold Schwarzenegger, who came from Austria, that was controlled by Germany, that was an unfree place. Schwarzenegger, because of our freedom and our liberty, is a very rich man now because he was a bodybuilder and a strong guy, and then became an actor because of his bodybuilding and being a strong guy, then became the governor and has lived the American dream. He said, screw your freedom, get vaccinated. What? Really? Well, what? Screw my freedom tomorrow? Screw your freedom, you can't live there. Screw your freedom, you can't wear that. Screw your freedom, you can't say that. Screw your freedom, you can't have a gun, a firearm to protect yourself and your family. Screw your freedom, you can't drive that kind of car. Screw your freedom, you can't work that kind of job. Screw your freedom, you can't make that kind of money. Where does screw your freedom stop? I think it's a valid question. So your thoughts, if you are of the ideology, if you've been indoctrinated to believe that my being unvaccinated somehow affects you, please to tell me how. I triple dog dare you to tell me how my status in any way, shape, or form affects you. 1-800-501-7080. 1-800-501-7080. JoePags.com for the Facebook, the Twitter, the Instagram. There's also a live video link. Click on that and go watch the program like a TV show. We'll have U.S. Representative Tony Gonzalez at the bottom of the hour. He's the guy who represents Del Rio, Texas, where there are 10,000-plus people waiting to illegally come into this country. We've got him on the program, Sheriff Mark Lamb on the program, Sean Spicer, too. And we'll be back after this on the weekend. Hey, great to have you. Welcome to the program. Thanks. It is the weekend with Joe Pags. Glad to have you along for the ride all across this great nation, over 300 stations. And we love coming to you every Saturday and or Sunday, whenever you happen to hear the program. We do it on Saturday. COVID-19, COVID passports, vaccine passports, wear a mask, don't wear a mask, double mask it. This week, there was a story where American Airlines kicked a family off the plane, allegedly, because the toddler wouldn't put a mask on. The toddler was having an asthmatic attack, according to his parents, but for some reason, they were escorted off the plane because he wouldn't put a mask on. This is how stupid it's become. Toddlers have to wear masks now as they walk around and about. Now, keep in mind, children under 12 have nearly zero mortality rate. The deaths in children that we've seen from COVID-19, which is few and far between, and one is too many, I get it. Talk to the CCP about releasing this virus from Wuhan. But those who have died have had preconditions, comorbidities, whatever. We have to take care of people. We have to look out for people, those who are most vulnerable. I've been saying this since day one. You don't shut down the economy. You just protect those who are most vulnerable. Shutting down the economy for as long as we did hurt us horribly. And I don't know that we'll ever bounce back from it financially. I don't know that we will. As Congress talks about another $3.5 trillion in spending, mainly on the new Green Deal or the Green New Deal, whatever. But yeah, we're kicking people off planes. We're shunning people out of the pizza place. You can't go see a show. I mean, that's nuts. That's literally crazy. Yet we're living it, and people are acting like, well, it's all, you're looking out for your neighbor. No, this is power and control from central government. Central government that shows up at the Met for $35,000 a ticket, nobody's got a mask on. But they're sophisticated, I guess. They show up at Obama's birthday party. Not a one has a mask on. But they're sophisticated. The San Francisco mayor recently caught on pictures and videos. Just partying down somebody's birthday or something. Might have been her birthday. Nobody's got a mask on. Okay? So this is the elite versus the rest of us, the peasants. And the elite is getting away with anything it wants to get away with. And the rest of you, some of you who are far left that are indoctrinated drones that allow people to control you, want to look at me and say, this is a pandemic of the vaccinated. No, it's not. It's a pandemic of the vaccinated, I said it wrong, those of you who are indoctrinated and believe what the progressive left says, thinks it's a pandemic of the unvaccinated. It's not. That's just not true. We are not stamping out the disease by forcing everybody to get vaccinated. There is zero proof that's what's happening. The only thing I can see happening is new variants. Okay? And again, talk to your doctor, talk to your family, talk to your clergy. And if they all decide, and if you decide that you want to get the vaccine, I want you to get the vaccine. If that's the decision you've made, because as a free liberated American, I think you have that right to decide for yourself. Let me go to Bob, who's in Ohio. Bob, what's on your mind? Hi.
Hey, this is Bob.
Hi, Bob. I'm living the dream. What's happening?
Well, what's happening is I'm 76-year-old, 3-tour veteran, Vietnam wounded, and I'm 76, like I said, and I've had every shot while I was in the service all through Southeast Asia, which is malaria, tablets, and all that. I don't feel I need any vaccinations of any kind, and I'm still kidding.
Well, first of all, thank you for your service. Secondly, if your doctor doesn't tell you, hey, Bob, I think you should get the vaccine, then you should decide for yourself.
Well, I have all the care I need to be able to. You might not hear this from much people, but I get everything I need taken care of. They called me and asked me if I wanted the vaccination. I said no and gave them the reasons why, and they said, thank you, we will not bother you again.
Well, good for you, Bob. I'm glad that you stood up and you made a decision that works for you. If Bob would have called in and said, I'm a Vietnam veteran and I decided to get the vaccine, I would have applauded him just as much. See, this is about free will. This is about making your own decision. This is about doing something that makes sense for you and your family and your medical and your clergy. I mean, this is very simple. As free liberated human beings that I believe God wants us to be free liberated human beings. I don't think God wants us to live like the Taliban is forcing people to live, or like China or Venezuela or North Korea is forcing people to live, or Cuba. I think God intends for us to be free and liberated as human beings. That means you get to make your own medical decisions. Because they lied about the vaccine to begin with. If you take the vaccine, you're going to be immune. You could take the mask off and go live your life. That was a lie. Then you couldn't get it, you couldn't spread it. That was a lie. Well, now you can get it, you can spread it, and you probably should still wear a mask. Huh? So this isn't what they're saying that it was. If they have some proof that those who are unvaccinated are somehow affecting those who are vaccinated, I'll hear you. There are even lies about how the unvaccinated are causing the variants, which literally makes no sense. If you've got a brain, you know that makes no sense. 1-800-501-7080, 1-800-501-7080. Have you checked out the southern border recently? 10,000, 12,000 people there, many of them Haitian. 1% of those coming across are vaccinated. Nary a mask to be seen. And upwards of 21% have COVID-19 that are now going to be allowed into the United States of America. When Jen Psaki was asked about this, hey, are those coming across the border, are they not required to be vaccinated or masked? And you want employers to force vaccine mandates on their employees if they employ over 100 people? And Psaki said that's correct. We'll talk to Tony Gonzalez, a representative from that area, when we come back.
This is The Weekend with Joe Pags.
Great to have you along for the ride. Thanks a lot for stopping by. Always great to have back District 23 Republican, the great state of Texas. It is Tony Gonzalez. Tony, how are you?
I'm doing great, Pags. Thanks for having me back on.
Yeah, it's really a pleasure to have you on. We're perplexed. I don't get it. What the hell's going on in Del Rio? I talked to the governor's office yesterday, and they're telling me we sent DPS, we sent National Guard, we did this, we did that. We tried to close six ports of entry, and then the Biden administration said, don't do that. So where are we right now? First of all, how many are there? Do we know?
Yeah, over 12,000. And yesterday, I was in Del Rio yesterday, there was 8,000. And the day before that, there was 3,000. The day before that, there was a few hundred. So this thing is almost doubling in size daily. This is what's happening. So first off, I've been to Del Rio over and over and over again, countless times throughout this crisis. This is as bad as I've ever seen it. And it's not even close. It's pure chaos. We have no southern border. It is dangerous on all fronts. So the question is, how did this happen? This is what occurred. The Biden administration, DHS in particular, Department of Homeland Security, they denied about six flights that were going to get, you have Haitians, predominantly Haitians are making this trek through Del Rio. Well, these Haitians did not qualify for asylum. And under Title 42, they were going to be expelled back to Haiti, back to their country of origin.
Right.
Well, DHS stepped in front, canceled these flights, about 1,000 or so migrants, and wanted to process them under a different title, Title 8, which would mean they would be processed and released to return to a court date later on. Well, what that did was that it shut down the system. And it also, imagine a bat symbol going up in Del Rio, Texas, to go, everybody come here. The border is wide open. That's what occurred.
It's Congressman Tony Gonzalez. So if I'm adding up in my head the numbers that you just gave over the past three, 4 days, it's about 30,000 people. That's a lot of people. And I'm from South Florida, which you may or may not have known. We know that the Haitians came to South Florida. Cubans came to South Florida. There was a wet foot, dry foot policy in Florida. Why? I mean, Haiti is not anywhere near Del Rio, Texas. Why are they? I don't understand why Haitians are there. How did this happen?
Exactly. These Haitians ultimately are going to end up in South Florida. But the reason why they're coming through Del Rio is because this is solely controlled by cartels. So the Mexican cartels are going to Haiti. In particular, the Mexican cartel across from Del Rio is going to Haiti and other places throughout Central America. They're recruiting people and saying, hey, we can get you through the United States. And these folks are making this trek that way.
They're going from Haiti, which is out in the Atlantic Ocean, around Florida to Mexico, hooking up with cartels, or they're hooking up with them in Haiti. They're taking them to Del Rio, Texas. They'll have to go all the way through Texas and then find their way back to South Florida. I mean, this is how the cartels are making their money now, and it's only available, Tony, because the Biden administration has such lax, you know, border control.
Exactly, and the reason, and this isn't a new issue. This is how things have been operating. The reason why you're seeing the numbers at the pace that they are is these cartels have become very much more efficient at the process. So before it would take about 22 days, these folks would essentially walk through Mexico. Now they're getting bused and they're taking plane rides halfway through Mexico. So it's a much more efficient process. But this is solely due to the Biden administration not expelling migrants that do not qualify for asylum. This open border rhetoric has turned into open border policy, and that's what we're seeing firsthand.
Tony Gonzalez for Congress.com is the website. It is U.S. Representative, District 23, Republican, in the great state of Texas, Tony Gonzalez. I had a caller yesterday to my show who said, Joe, this is an unarmed invasion at our southern border. Tony, if an army of 30,000 men showed up on the border, and I'm being told that these are all generally military-age men who are there at the border right now that are waiting to get in, if they showed up and declared war on us, we would take action. How is it that the state of Texas, because the federal government won't do it, how is it that the state of Texas can't defend its own border? I know what the Constitution says about naturalization, but if the federal government doesn't do its duty according to the supreme law of the land and the Constitution, why can't we do something?
Yeah, I will tell you, Texans are tired. We are tired of it all. Republicans, Democrats, independents, we are tired of the chaos that this administration has caused. And it has to stop. It has to stop immediately. I was there yesterday, and imagine 8,000 people waiting to be processed, and it's 12,000 now. And there's a handful of porta potties, so there's very few facilities. It is hot. It's nearly 100 degrees outside. You do have family units as well. I mean, small children. We're also seen there as well. So it is just a very dangerous environment all the way around. People are going to die because of the Biden administration. Over the past year, 233,000 migrants have passed through this little town,
wow,
six times the size of this town.
And the people in that town, as you said, Democrat or Republican, have to be tired of it. I know Henry Cuellar, who's a Democrat, he's on the opposite side from you and me. He also agrees with you and I. He agrees that we have to do something about this, that Biden has ruined our border and the sovereignty of this nation is at risk. So I'll ask again, because when Obama did DACA, that was illegal. I know that he still got it done somehow, but DACA was basically saying, we're going to ignore the laws for 2 years, defer adjudication, let you compete for jobs with Americans and stay here as long as you pay a fine. And 2 years later, we'll make you pay another fine and you still stay here and keep on breaking the law. Why can't we do something if the federal government says we're not going to uphold what our responsibility is? Texans just have to roll over and say, hey, welcome to town. Have a good one here in Del Rio. I mean, can't we do anything? Is there a legal means? Can you sue Biden? Can Paxton sue Biden? What has to happen?
The answer is all of the above. And one of the things in particular is in Del Rio, I literally just got off the phone with the mayor of Del Rio, who, oh, by the way, is a Democrat. And we've been working real closely together.
Yeah.
He is shutting down the bridge in Del Rio to prevent traffic. The governor, been working with the governor's office. The governor is sending DPS and National Guard to Del Rio as well. The bottom line, though, this is a federal problem. In particular, the executive branch. I mean, there are no laws that I have to pass. The laws are already there.
Right.
We have to put enough political pressure on the administration to realize that they are destroying this country. And it goes beyond politics. I mean, people are fed up. I will tell you, though, we are doing everything possible. Everyone, Democrats, Republicans, local elected officials, state, federal, everyone is coming together to push back against this dangerous policies that the administration has created.
District 23 Republican, the great state of Texas, Tony Gonzalez. Tony, I saw a question and answer yesterday with Psaki, where I think it was Ducey from Fox says, is it true that this administration is for vaccine passports and vaccine mandates and mask mandates for people to go and eat or go in and work out of the gym, but if you're coming across the southern border, you don't have to worry about that? She said, yes, that's true, and then moved on. So in other words, you could have COVID-19. I've heard numbers as high as 20% have COVID-19. Yep. They're not masked. They're not vaccine. The vaccinated, I heard on Fox today, is 1% of those coming across to Del Rio. Only 1% is vaccinated. And the administration is fine with that. So not only is your home and your property at risk because people are coming illegally across the border, not only are they trespassing, not only are they breaking at least two laws that I can tell you off the top of my head, they also might be bringing COVID, and we seriously can't do anything?
Pags, I was on the ground yesterday in Del Rio. Literally thousands, 10,000 different migrants, 2,000 that were getting processed, 8,000 that were waiting underneath this bridge, and not a mask in sight,
right,
at all, right? So what this is a distraction by the administration. They want us to be talking about these mandates. Look, I'm completely against these vaccine mandates, completely against these mask mandates.
Right.
They want us to be distracted as they try to ram through $5 trillion down our throats. A lot of this is we as Republicans, as conservatives, we have to highlight what has happened and don't fall for the shiny object. I also say, when I was talking to Border Patrol agents, the leadership in particular, I go, hey, what are your thoughts? What are your thoughts on this vaccine mandate? And he goes, Congressman, the vaccine mandate is the last thing on my mind. Right now, I'm doing everything I possibly can to secure our southern border.
It is Representative Tony Gonzalez, District 23 Republican, the great state of Texas. Sending DPS is nice. Sending the Texas National Guard is nice. When I had the governor on a couple of months ago, he said that we're going to start charging people with trespassing if they're in Texas illegally. Are we doing that? Is DPS arresting people? Is the National Guard doing anything? Or is it a show of force? Because from my vantage point, it appears as though these people are all being processed and they're allowed to be here in America.
Yeah, no, there's very little that's happening. Very little that's happening. The reality is, in these small towns, there isn't the capacity to do that. I mean, there is no jail space. Literally, the jails are nearly full to capacity right now. Also, when somebody gets arrested, and let's say they're held in Del Rio,
yeah,
in the Del Rio jail, it's the local county that has to feed and house these people. So at the end of the day, these counties have already been cash strapped due to this crisis. So it goes well beyond, even if we wanted to enforce from a state level or a local level, there's simply not the capacity there. I go back to it. This is what I believe needs to happen. The Remain in Mexico policy works. The Biden administration needs to re-implement that immediately. This expelling migrants that do not qualify for asylum, which is about 89% of folks, they need to be returned to their country of origin immediately. Turn those flights back on. And then the third thing is we need to add Border Patrol and ICE agents to the equation. Those are the professionals. Their job is national security. What I'm extremely worried about is areas like Big Bend, very remote sectors, are virtually wide open. Yeah, another 9/11 is just brewing. We have to start. We have to push back against it, and we have to do it now.
Well, what you said is obviously what I think what everybody wants, most people on the left and on the right, because we don't want an invasion. Certainly, we're the most open country to immigration every year. Over 1 million come legally, and now we have to accept about 2.5 million more if the numbers continue to rise the way they are. So everything you just said, I agree with you. How do you make it happen? Can you? You don't have any power in Congress. You have no power in the executive. How can you force their hand?
You know, the number one thing that I believe I can do is political pressure. And I'll give you an example. You know, this started brewing. Del Rio started brewing 2 days ago. Yesterday, I was in Del Rio. I was the first member of Congress in Del Rio. And I brought attention to it. We did videos. We did press. We just kind of unveiled. Because what the administration wants to do, it wants to hide what is happening.
Agreed.
And then that attracted Senator Cruz to go out to Del Rio that evening, yesterday evening, which was great. Brings more attention to it. And today, high-level DHS officials were forced to come to Del Rio as well. So I think part of it is this administration will only do something when you see enough political pressure. Think back to Kamala Harris. The only reason she went to El Paso is because Donald Trump visited the border. I mean, bottom line, we have to do those type of things, put enough political pressure on this administration in order for them to act.
And by the way, John Cornyn, our senator, the other senator, we've got Ted Cruz and Cornyn, says that Kamala Harris didn't go within 9 miles of the border. She went to El Paso, but never really went to the border, then went to L.A. to relax for a little bit. It is Tony Gonzalez, District 23 Republican, the great state of Texas, doing great work. Del Rio is in his district, and I'm glad that you did highlight it. I'm glad Cruz is highlighting it. I'm glad that we're highlighting it again. We've got to keep the pressure on them, but Tony, we really have to get the House and the Senate back to Absolutely. Make sure that we can ensure that those laws that are on the books will be enforced. Until or unless that happens, they're never going to be enforced, are they?
They're not. I mean, the bottom line is we shouldn't have to be putting this much political pressure on them to do their job, right? Whether that's the State Department, whether that's DHS, whether that's DOD. I mean, it's unbelievable, unprecedented what is happening with these cabinet members. Well, I'll also say right now, the Republican Party is already planning on what we're going to do on November 4th, 2022.
Yeah.
We have to have a plan in place. We can't catch the bus and then go, great, we're the majority. Now what do we do? The plan is being created today on how to fix all these wrongs and look forward. I think that's a big part of what will make us successful as well.
You and I agree. District 23 Republican, the great state of Texas, Tony Gonzalez. Tony, don't be a stranger. Keep us updated on what's going on there in Del Rio, okay?
I will. Thank you, Pags, for covering the story, brother.
You bet. I appreciate you. We're back after this. Stay right here. Glad to have U.S. Representative Tony Gonzalez on the program. He is, of course, the guy who also handles Del Rio, which is where this illegal immigration crisis continues. We're looking at about 2.5 million illegal crossings this year alone that we know of. Keep in mind, we don't catch everybody who's trying to come across and who makes it. Legally, about 1 million. So what, 3.5 million foreign nationals just coming into the country every year. How do you think that's sustainable? Why do you think other countries have these laws that they're allowed to have and nobody calls them racist or anything over it? You know, we have to protect our borders. You want to come here, do so legally, apply, go to the consulate, do what you have to do, get a lawyer. A break. It doesn't make any sense. On that, plus the COVID crisis is attached to it because 1% have been vaccinated, 20 to 21% have COVID-19. We're just letting them in. Have a nice day. 1-800-501-7080, 1-800-501-7080, joepags.com. Stop there. Sign up for the newsletter. Just scroll down a little bit. Put your email address inside where it says subscribe, and you get a free newsletter Monday through Saturday. And I'm not going to spam you with a bunch of ads. It's basically an email telling you what's going to be on the program today. We go to Scott, who's in Florida. Scott, what's going on? Hi.
Hey, Joe. I'm getting confused more by the day. Yesterday I was listening to Clay and Buck and then the Hannity show. They had doctors on there now that are saying that the vaccinated are the spreaders and that the vaccine has four times whatever it is. I'm a retired sergeant major. I'm not a medic. But anyway, it has four times. It's got too much of the stuff, and our body is actually shedding it, infecting the uninfected. So now then they're switching it around to not the unvaccinated being the spreaders. Now the vaccinated are the spreaders.
Well, I mean, I didn't hear the shows that you're talking about. I don't generally speaking listen to a lot of other talk radio. Scott, thanks for your service, by the way, because then it would somehow sway my opinion. I make my opinions on my own independently. But I've had medical experts on my show, Dr. Dan Stock, Dr. Jesse Lopez, and others, Dr. Jerome Corsi. I've had people on who've talked about other treatments and also about the effectiveness or the ineffectiveness of vaccines in some people. And again, this is why you make your own choice. The attacks on ivermectin, the attacks on hydroxychloroquine, the attacks on zinc and zithromycin, the attacks on these medications that are inexpensive and available and have been available for a long time, tells me there's something more than just, hey, the vaccine would be good for you. It tells me there's something else involved, like somebody's making a lot of money from the vaccine. These pharmaceutical companies are making a lot of money off the vaccine because the government's paying for everybody to get vaccinated. When you can go and you're tailgating at the football game or the basketball game or whatever, and there's a clinic there, a mobile clinic there ready to vaccinate you, there's something else going on here. These vaccines aren't free. These companies are making billions and billions of dollars. Now, is it all about the money? No. But does money have something to do with it? Yes, obviously. For me, we should have an all-of-the-above ability to use these medicines that are out there and have been out there for 60, 70 years, like hydroxychloroquine, if, in fact, it shows its effectiveness. And there have been studies showing it, along with zinc and zithromycin, Dr. Zelenko's protocol works. Then we should be able to do that. And the pizza place shouldn't be able to say, well, wait a second, you've taken these medications, but not the vaccine? You can't eat a pizza here. You must be kidding me. That's America? What happened to the American spirit? They've been knocking us down for so long. The American spirit is like out the window. What happened to us standing up and saying, screw you, government, I'm going to go eat a pizza? Or screw you, government, I'm a pizza place owner. I'm not going to take your stupid rule and your stupid mandate. Watch me serve a pizza to this family. It should be kind of that simple. Joe Pags, The Weeknd, coming back. Stay right here.
This is The Weeknd with Joe Pags. Across America, it's The Weeknd with Joe Pags. To talk to Joe, call 800-501-7080. And now, The Weeknd. Here's Joe Pags.
You're darn right. Glad to have you. Thanks a lot for stopping by. Lots going on, lots to get to, lots to make happen. So I want to talk about General Mark Milley. He's the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff. General Mark Milley. He's a guy I wasn't that familiar. I'll be honest, I wasn't that familiar with him. I know that he was the chief of staff under Trump as well. I know that he walked to the church with Trump that day, the Lafayette Square or whatever. But wasn't that familiar with him. I mean, here's a guy that if you look into him, 40-plus years of honorable service. The Joint Chiefs advised the president. The president is the commander-in-chief. He's the commander of the military forces. You've got a civilian who is the commander of the military forces. It's another check and balance that our very intelligent founding fathers put in place. Very smart. Very smart check and balance. Well, Millie, according to a book by Bob Woodward and somebody named Costa, I think, Millie was so scared after January 6th, alleging, this is alleged by Bob Woodward. I didn't talk to Millie about it. He hasn't denied it, by the way. He was so scared of what Trump might do that he called the Chinese counterpart in the military there to warn China that Trump might try something and that, don't worry, wink, wink, nod, nod, I'll give you a phone call and a heads up if anything like that were to happen. What? You're going to do what? And then allegedly he talks to Nancy Pelosi, the Speaker of the House, who said something about Trump's fat butt or something. Nancy Pelosi, who's an 80-something-year-old child. So let's break it down. Mark Milley, the Joint Chiefs, contacts the country that most understand is not necessarily our friend, the country that allowed for the release of the Wuhan novel coronavirus, COVID-19, the country that is trying to out-superpower us as the superpower, the country that only makes moves for its own benefit and never, ever thinks about us. In fact, the country that's now the best friend of the Taliban that we just gave full run of Afghanistan. China is not our friend. I wish it were, but it's not. China is not a free country. I wish it were, but it's not. China is a country that's been stealing our intellectual property for a long time when it comes to movies and CDs and music and everything else. And China, a country that keeps on buying up our debt, we keep on owing them a bunch of money. China that is looking for the ruination of the United States and our way of life to prove that their way of life is somehow better. A way of life that, of course, came to fruition by killing tens of millions of their own people. Mark Milley, the Joint Chiefs of Staff chairman, called the military in China to warn that military, allegedly, according to Bob Woodward, to warn that military about our president of the United States. Kind of a simple question. What should happen to Mark Milley? Can't just get away with it. You know, Biden says he still has some sort of confidence in the guy. Well, Biden's kind of an idiot. And according to Ronnie Jackson, a medical doctor, he thinks that he's on the path to dementia, if not already there. So let's forget that Biden is stupid or isn't all there or isn't lucid. And whoever's pulling the string, Sean Spicer says later in the program who he thinks is actually running the White House. But what should happen to Mark Milley? 1-800-501-7080. This is at least subversion, right? Subverting the president. This is at worst treason, right? I mean, you're a top military commander calling a top military commander in China to inform that person of what your boss might do. And by the way, you'll hear this from Spicer later. President Trump never made any indication to anybody in Washington that he was considering nuking China or starting a war or shooting one shot from a, you know, from a pea shooter. There was no indication whatsoever Trump was considering anything like this. Yet Milley is alleged to have called China, which again, subversion, treason, what is it? And then it's alleged that he went to everybody under his command or that he interacted with and made them look him in the eyes and promise that they would tell him before taking any action. Really? I think Mark Milley, that is not my number on the weekend, Jennifer. It's 1-800-501-7080. 1-800-501-7080 if you want to call in. But I do appreciate that. It should be PAGS, but it's not. Mark Milley did not run for president. Mark Milley is not the president. Mark Milley is not a person who is even in the line of command, the chain of command. The chairman of the Joint Chiefs is not. He would have no say. The president can get advice from him, but he would have no say. So it doesn't make any sense that he had, that he'd taken any of this action. Doesn't make sense to go to the Speaker of the House, Nancy Pelosi, and talk about any of this stuff. If he truly had a fear that the President of the United States might do something, go rogue because of the election results, then you go to the Vice President. You talk to the Vice President, make yourself clear. The Vice President decides if he wants to get with the, or she, wants to get with the administration, the cabinet, and talk about the 25th Amendment. You don't go to Nancy Pelosi. You don't go to your so-called counterpart in China. No. What you do is you follow proper protocol. 1-800-501-7080. 1-800-501-7080. I just need to know what you think should happen to Mark Milley. I mean, this isn't okay, right? There's nothing about this that's okay. There's not even for a second. Listen, you could be the farthest person on the left. In fact, I want to hear from you. If you're a Democrat, progressive, pro-AOC, pro-Biden, I want to hear you tell me that you're okay with the chairman of the Joint Chiefs circumventing the authority of the commander-in-chief to talk to Nancy Pelosi about the size of his rear end, or to even more importantly, talk to China and the so-called Chinese counterpart about what you feared the commander-in-chief might do. The fact that this guy has not tendered his resignation yet, just over what it was that Biden was planning in Afghanistan, Milley should have said, I'm not going to be the chairman of the Joint Chiefs. You're nuts. I'm out of here. The fact that he didn't tender his resignation then already tells you what kind of guy he is. Now, Biden and the administration are saying, well, that's part of it, the purview of his job. That's part of the job description. He's supposed to call China and talk to the counterparts, maybe about, well, how's the weather in Beijing? Or about, hey, we're going to be in the Sea of China here, and we're going to do this over there. Just keep in mind, we'll be there. That's going to be us. But you don't say, I fear the president might launch an attack against you, but don't worry about it. I'll give you the heads up. Because I'm Mark Milley, Chairman, Joint Chiefs. Dude, why is this guy not in jail waiting to have somebody, you know, adjudicate him? Why isn't he facing charges? Why wasn't he in front of a Senate committee or a House committee the day we heard about this? Oh, he's going to be in front of them like on the 29th or the 28th or 27th. We have to wait 2 weeks, a week and a half to find out what the hell he's doing? Come on, man. So I want your thoughts. And again, especially if you're somebody on the left, I want you to somehow defend this guy and the action that Bob Woodward says he took. And I keep on talking about it because Milley has not denied it. And the Biden administration says, oh, that's just part of the job. 1-800-501-7080. 1-800-501-7080. JoePags.com. Stay right here. Great to have you. Thanks a lot for stopping by. Appreciate you making it happen. It is 1-800-501-7080, joepags.com. What should happen to Mark Milley? By the way, bottom of this hour, it's going to be Sheriff Mark Lamb. We'll continue about the border incursion, the border invasion. We'll also talk about policing, defunding the police. We've got Sean Spicer, hour number 3. And we'll talk to Sean about, you know what I'm going to do? Damien, I can do this because it's my show. I'm going to flip it around. I'm going to have Sean Spicer here at the bottom of this hour. And then I will bring you Sheriff Mark Lamb in hour number 3. Because I think it makes more sense with the Milley topic. You know, and I can do that because they named the show after me. You know what I'm saying? I think you do.
Of course. I got you. You can do whatever you want to do. It's your show.
Exactly right. All right. So we'll do that. We'll have Sean Spicer at the bottom of this hour. And because we talk a lot about Psaki and Milley, and we talk about what did or didn't happen and what the proper protocol is. So we'll do that at the bottom of the hour. Let me go to the phone lines. Let me say hello and welcome to, let me see here. Alan is in Colorado. Alan, talk to me. What's on your mind?
Milley should be prosecuted, but I don't think it can be for treason, because the way treason is worded, China would have to be our enemy and our adversary.
Are they not our adversary?
They are our adversary.
Okay. So if you give the high sign and the heads up to our adversary, that wouldn't be treason?
I don't think it can be prosecuted as treason, but one of these jags needs to get up off their butt and do something and prosecute the man.
Well, I'm with you, and that's Judge Advocate General. They do need to take this up. They do need to put this guy under the microscope. They do need to have this guy brought in for questioning. They do need to charge him with something. I mean, at the end of the day, you're calling and you're telling somebody, wink, wink, nod, nod, screw the president. I'll tell you if he's going to do something. The guy's done. That phone call, he's done. They impeached Trump on a phone call with Ukraine that he released a transcript on, proving he did nothing wrong, yet Milley can do this? Come on, man. Come on, man. Let me go to Kathleen in Florida. Kathleen, what's going on? Hi. Hello, Kathleen. All right, Kathleen, try back again. Open line now at 1-800-501-7080, joepags.com. New York is starting to hear the show now. They get hour number one in this hour, so we're hearing about vaccines that we talked about last hour, and I'm happy to take your phone call. Mike, what's on your mind? Hi. Hey, Damien, I'm not hearing the phone calls. Are we good here? Hello, Mike. Okay, he's gone too. All right, cool. I'll try Greg. Greg, what's on your mind? Hi.
Yeah, I'd like to make a comment on the COVID shot or the jab.
Sure.
I think now what we have is we have pure bloods who haven't had it and versus the people that have been violated. And my sister went to give blood. She has not had the jab. And they said, oh, thank you for coming in. Now we can use your plasma. If you'd had the jab, we can't make your blood into plasma. They wouldn't accept it. So there's something going on that we are not being told.
But where did this happen? In what part of New York? Or is she in New York at all?
Well, she's in Florida.
So in Florida, they said, if you got the vaccine, I'm not going to accept your blood?
They couldn't use her blood as plasma. They needed plasma. So she was able, they were thrilled that she came in and gave blood, and they were able to use it for plasma. Otherwise, they wouldn't have been able to use it for plasma if she had had the shot.
I had not heard that before. I will look into it and see if that's the case in Florida. My mom lives down there. I've got sisters down there. So I'll certainly check and see if that's the case. That's very interesting, if true. 1-800-501-7080, 1-800-501-7080, joepags.com. Again, bottom of the hour, it'll be Sean Spicer. We'll talk about Milley. We'll talk about Jen Psaki going after Sean Spicer, going after Kellyanne Conway. They're on these boards, which is interesting to me. And the Biden administration is asking them to step down from the boards, which is unprecedented. Doesn't normally work that way. Plus, we'll talk about Sean's new book, too. Lynn, Florida, talk to me. Hi.
Hi. I just had one-sentence comment. If Milley had said, gee, don't worry about what Biden's going to do because of his cognitive decline, the news of his firing would be on CNN and MSNBC 24 hours a day, 7 days a week.
You're 100% right, Lynn. You're 100% right. 100% right. If you would have said something about Obama, if you would have said something about Biden, if you would have said something about Harris, gone. The fact that he did this, and the president at the time was Donald Trump, the response from Nancy Pelosi when Milley contacted her, which he should not have done, was something about people kissing his big fat butt or something. This is who we're dealing with in Washington, D.C. These are the movers and shakers and deciders of our future in this country. Really, really use your brain here. Really, really use your brain. Okay? Again, I'm going to check out that plasma thing. I appreciate the man calling in, but I have to verify that. That's what I do. That's why the show is so good and above reproach. We always check and we verify. Let me go to Kathleen in Florida. Kathleen, what's going on? Hi.
Hi. Thank you for taking my call.
You bet.
I just want to say that I don't think that this country can afford another minute of that man that is ensconced in the White House. And as far as General...
Milley.
Oh, God. Milley, yes, thank you. I, of course, would want him tried, and I would like to hear what he has to say, his version of whatever went on. And if... it is true, what is being said then I think he should be tried for treason.
Yeah, I don't see any reason why he wouldn't be, to be honest with you. I mean, for me, it's actually very simple. You call somebody who's our adversary, maybe not our listed enemy, but obviously there is enemy stuff going on, how they're acting on the world stage. They're moving in with the Taliban, going to get the mineral rights there. They're expanding constantly. They broke the deal on Hong Kong with Great Britain. All right? It looks like they're probably going to go into Taiwan. I mean, why wouldn't they? After seeing what the United States refused to do when it comes to the Taliban in Afghanistan. I mean, why wouldn't they move in? It's actually kind of simple, right? Of course they would. Because they have no fear of us any longer. They have zero fear. Well, the United States isn't going to do anything. They're not going to load up a bunch of military. They actually gave up Bagram Air Base. You realize that China is going to probably have a position now at Bagram, the air base that we built for all that time, all that money, all that human sacrifice. China probably is now going to move in, which is kind of nuts to me, to be honest with you. And again, they want the mineral rights. Why didn't we talk to the Taliban about mineral rights? Why didn't we want that? We've been in that country 20 years. We gave people a semblance of freedom and liberty that they never expected to have in Afghanistan. Why don't we? It's like saving Kuwait. All right, we saved you. Give us a really big discount on your oil now. Oh, Saddam Hussein, you don't want to, you don't want to get the hell out? We tell you to get out because of what you were doing? Okay, we'll go into Iraq. We're taking the oil, too. No, China will do that. Others will do that. We don't do that because we're the United States. That would be mean. We can't do that, can we? Of course we can. It's called the spoils of war. And yes, China is our adversary right now. I wish that it weren't, but it is. When we come back, Sean Spicer right here on The Weeknd.
This is The Weeknd with Joe Pags.
Have you along for the ride. Thanks a lot for stopping by. Always a pleasure to have the host of Spicer & Company, the former press secretary for the White House. It's Sean Spicer. Sean, how are you?
I'm great, Joe. How are you?
You are great, man. I'm glad to have you on. It turns out there's a whole lot going on that I want to talk to Sean Spicer about. Let me start with your recent interview with President Trump a couple of days ago. As you know, I had him on, I don't know, 2 or 3 weeks ago, and he's just still dumbfounded by what exactly it is that the Biden administration did in Afghanistan. I heard a recent interview with Mike Pence, the former vice president, who said, Trump made it clear to the Taliban, we will wipe you off the map if you harm any American, period. Now the Taliban is like running roughshod. Did you ever expect it to go down the way that it went down?
Absolutely not. I mean, not just the other point that the president made on the show with me, that I don't think comes as any surprises. He's a businessman. And do you really think that the guy would have left all that equipment sitting over there for the Taliban to take that the U.S. taxpayers have paid for? It doesn't pass the smell test, whether you like Trump or not.
Do you know, Sean, do you know, in your heart of hearts, as somebody who is in that position, why on earth would an administration do what Biden did? I've been saying, because I'm speculating, that it was for a photo op to say we got out before the 20th anniversary of 9/11. Could it be as simple as that? There's no other reason I can see why he would have done this.
I agree with you, because every account from even his own people that's coming out suggests that, you know, he was obstinate. They were very, very clear from the military as well as they weren't ready, and he overrode all of them.
You got a guy who's the chairman of the Joint Chiefs in Mark Milley. Do you know this guy?
I do.
40 years of honorable service. How is it that we're hearing these stories from Bob Woodward's book that Milley called his Chinese counterpart to say, don't worry, wink, wink, nod, nod. I'll give you the high sign if this guy does something. How is it that that's possible and Milley hasn't denied it? In fact, the administration is saying it's part of his job to contact that guy. I don't think it's part of his job to tell him our president might be rogue and I'm the de facto president now because I'm the chairman of the Joint Chiefs. What do you make of all this?
Well, a couple things. Number one, the chairman of the Joint Chiefs is not in the chain of command. It's president to the Secretary of Defense down from there. By law, the Secretary of Defense, the chairman of the Joint Chiefs is not part of the chain of command, and people need to know that. Second, I think that I will give, look, I have to balance all this with the fact that it's a Bob Woodward book. So
yeah.
Let's remember that Bob Woodward's trying to sell books. So I'll give the chairman some deference here. But I will say that, to your point, like, I think they need to explain this. The White House does this straw man argument and say, calls like this are normal. No, the calls are normal. You're right. You always talk to your counterparts. The content matters. It's like the same thing they're doing with Afghanistan. Oh, everybody wanted to get out. Well, the how you did it matters. And so what Milley said on the phone makes a difference. If he did say, I'm going to give you a heads up, that's a big deal. That's a big problem. If he called and just said, hey, I want to make sure that before you do anything, you and I have an open line of communication, that's quite another.
Yeah, no, it is. And I want to give him some deference, too. But the fact is, they're not denying it. And they're trying to cover for it,
no,
saying it was part of their normal. That's the weirdest thing. You figure he would come out to the nearest microphone and camera, Sean, and say, hey, let me go on Spicer and Company and tell Sean, I didn't say this. I didn't do this. He's not doing that.
But here's the thing that I find fascinating is, number one, I'm addicted to reading everything about this administration. So I've read Michael Wolff book, I read Phil Rucker's book, I read Bender's book, and obviously I'll read the Woodward book, but I've read the excerpts that have come about it. They're all very consistent in the sense that each one of them, they talk about Milley trying to do cleanup after he did that Lafayette Park walk with the president. And so it's almost like if you read all four of them, you're getting almost the same. The difference with the Woodward book is this Chinese conversation that he had with his counterparts. I say that because they know their goal, it seems, was to go out and to make sure that they did, after Biden was elected, to make sure that it was, hey, let me just be clear. I never really liked the Trump guy. I didn't like him. I'm not with him. I'm with you guys.
Right.
And it was clearly to make sure that everybody understood what team they were on. And so this was an intentional PR campaign that was done.
It's Sean Spicer, Spicer & Company, on Newsmax TV, Monday through Friday, 6 p.m. Also get his book called Radical Nation. Yeah, I'm with you. We had to show how bad Trump was. There's the book, and make sure you go and get that. At all the places you normally would get a book, it's called Radical Nation. You're right. They wanted to make sure that...
the president's endorsed right there.
Oh, nice. Well, if he's endorsing it, it must be a darn good book if he's endorsing it. We had a bit of an internet problem there, but we saw the endorsement from President Trump. All right, so you want to make sure that Biden knows that you're his guy now. I get that. Woodward hated Trump. He's doing everything he can to sully Trump. I get that, too. Here's the problem. This doesn't make Trump look bad. This makes Milley look like he's a treasonous guy. This doesn't make Trump look bad. It makes Nancy Pelosi look like she's treasonous as well. Go ahead.
Here's the thing, Joe. We're losing the underlying premise of why the call was made. Right. So Milley says, I had to call the Chinese to reassure them that Trump wasn't going to fire a missile or start a war. One, I asked the president point blank on my show. He said, nope, I wasn't going to do it. Number two, every single person in Washington has leaked about everything the last 5 years. Not one person, friend or foe, has come out and said, yep, I heard Trump say that. I heard Trump think it. I heard him whisper it. Not one. So we're forgetting the fact that this whole thing was about making sure that Trump couldn't do something that apparently no one heard him want to do in the first place.
Yeah, and that's the nuttiness of it. That's exactly right. Radical Nation's the book. You're going to find out why we're so radical in this nation now, why the left has become so progressive and so horrible. It's Sean Spicer, the host of Spicer & Company. Turns out you and Kellyanne Conway shouldn't be on a board of anything because Biden won. I'm not sure this has ever happened, and I think that I saw you explain this the other day, that Obama or Bush had some leftovers that Obama didn't get rid of. Obama had some leftovers that that Trump didn't get rid of. Why is Biden telling you and Kellyanne Conway that you're not fit to serve on these boards that aren't political?
Well, let's take viewers back and listeners back for a second. President Trump in 2019 appointed me to serve on the board of the U.S. Naval Academy Board of Visitors. I've served just over 2 years of a three-year term. I served 22 years in the Navy. I graduated from the U.S. Naval War College. I've received various degrees and awards. I've served under five different presidents. I serve on the board of two veteran service organizations, one of which is the Independence Fund here.
Nice.
So I have no problem stacking up my military credentials, against Jen's. I'm not really sure that she's ever served, but she also said that people like H.R. McMaster, Lieutenant General, who's a graduate of West Point, wasn't qualified. General Jack Keane wasn't qualified. Lieutenant General Guy Swan, who was the former former commander of Army North, wasn't qualified. Not one person in the press corps pushed back on this, but there's a difference, and people in the media keep forgetting that this exists. There are presidential advisory boards. I served as a member of the President's Commission on White House Fellows. When President Biden asked for my resignation, I gave it to him. That's a presidential board. These are statutory boards that Congress enacted. They have three-year terms that President Trump appointed all of us to. This has never happened in history. So President Biden has chosen to politicize the service academy boards in a way that's never been done before in history. And I think that that's sad, especially for a guy who claims that he was going to try to unite the country.
Why? What has he done exactly? It's a great segue. What exactly has he done to unite the country? It's the vaccinated against the unvaccinated, the mask against the unmasked, the right versus the left, the rich versus the poor. Fill me in.
Yeah, well, I think you've missed it. He has said unity a lot, and clearly...
There's no unity at all. Where is the unity? I'm waiting for my unity to show up. Is it going to be in the mail? Is Biden going to call me? Because there's no unity. You know what the unity is? You agree with us and you take our side or else you're out. That's really what it is.
And then you say unity a lot.
Just keep saying it. Sean, did you ever call out a previous press secretary when you were the press secretary? Psaki called you out by name. Why?
I'll tell you, it's funny. I was asked about that earlier today. By a newspaper reporter, and I said, you know, I've always adhered to the unwritten tradition that the previous press secretaries don't criticize the current press secretary because it's a tough job, and you don't someone pun. But Jen decided to call out me and my qualification and my experience to this country, and so you know what, gloves are off now, baby.
And I don't blame you. And I know that you're respectful. You know, it was the same old tradition, like George W. Bush didn't say anything about Obama, as radical and horrible as Obama was. And then when Obama left office, everybody attacked Trump. It's like we forgot those rules, Sean. Why is it that our side always wants to keep it above board and the other side doesn't care? They'll circle the wagons and get down into the dredges if they have to.
Amen, brother. I'm tired of it. I'm going to ask Kevin McCarthy tonight on the show the same thing, which is, why do we always try to be better? Let's play by their rules. If we get back the majority in the House of Representatives, we're going to kick their guys off. They did it to Jim Jordan and Jim Banks. Let's kick their people off. I'm so tired of, I get it. We've tried to be the better people. We've tried to take the higher road, but we've got to start fighting.
Radical Nation's name of the book. His name is Sean Spicer, former press secretary for the White House. Also, Spicer & Company is his show, Monday through Friday, 6 p.m. Eastern on Newsmax TV. Well, one last question, Sean. Have you thought in your most private moments who's really running the country? It's not this guy. We know it's not this guy. He hasn't just lost something off the fastball. You know, Dr. Ronnie Jackson says he believes this man is suffering from dementia. So who is it? Is it Obama? Is it Susan Rice? Is it Jill Biden? Do you know?
I think most of the decisions are made by Ron Klain.
By Ron Klain?
Yeah.
And is he the one who's in Biden's earpiece saying, don't answer questions? Because Biden keeps on saying things like, I'll get in trouble if I answer your questions. It's not funny. He keeps saying it because he's really, like, in fear of the guy. It's weird.
Look, Klain's been with him a long time. Republicans on Capitol Hill refer to him as Prime Minister Klain.
Wow.
And I think for a reason.
I didn't know that. I had no idea that that was the nickname they had for him behind the scenes. Radical Nation, show me that book again if you don't mind. Sean, let's get everybody out to go buy this. They can get it at all the normal places where you would buy a book. It's called Radical Nation. Sean Spicer is the guy. He does an incredible show. I really appreciate your service to the nation. And thanks for taking it on. You know, when they come after you, why not hit back? And I'm glad that you did, because for a long time you didn't.
And it's funny, I talked to President Trump about this before he did my show, and he was like, you know, I'm glad somebody's fighting back, and I appreciate it. And I told him, I said, look, this is just, if we don't do it, who will? And I think that you've got to, at some point, be willing to stop and fight, because too much is on the line. And that's, frankly, what the whole book is to make sure people get it. You can't keep looking at things in isolation and saying, oh, it's just this policy. They just want to make D.C. a state. They just want to let people through the southern border. At some point, understand that all of these are small pieces in a bigger puzzle to reshape the nation.
Get the book, Radical Nation. It's Sean Spicer. Sean, thanks a million. Let's do it again soon.
You bet, Joe. Anytime.
All right, brother. We're back after this. Stay right here. You check out Spicer and Company Monday through Friday, 6 p.m. Eastern time. He's a good guy, and I'm glad he's standing up for himself against these radicals in the White House now and in the administration now. They're out of control, and the way that you get them back in control is you let them know we're on to you. We're paying attention to you. It is 1-800-501-7080, 1-800-501-7080. JoePags.com. Next hour will be Sheriff Mark Lamb. Make sure you stick around for that. Let me go to Martin in Colorado. Martin, what's going on? Hi. Hello, Martin. Yeah, that's weird. I don't know. Martin appears to be there. I'm going to put him back on hold. Damien, if you feel like it, maybe pick that line up and see if you can hear him, and then we'll figure it out. 1-800-501-7080. 1-800-501-7080, JoePags.com. When you go to JoePags.com, you can check out the social media on all the big three on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter. It's going to be Joe Talk Show, at Joe Talk Show. On Getter, which is a new one, GETTR.com, it's Joe Talk Show as well, and verified in all of those. If you're looking on Telegram or Minds or on Parler or other ones like that, Gab, it's at Joe Pags, at JoePags. And again, if they're not verified, don't have the verified check mark, then it's not me. Unfortunately, some losers are using my pictures and making new accounts and hitting on women on websites and stuff like that. That's not me. You know it's me if it's a verified account. Got a story that somebody sent me a little while ago that really jumped out at me when it comes to the misinformation, disinformation, and misunderstandings when it comes to vaccines. Okay? This is from Fox News. Bradford Betts and Louis Cassiano, because obviously one person couldn't write the story, I guess, published 2 days ago. The Illinois family of a vaccinated woman who died of COVID-19 says her death could have been avoided if more people were vaccinated. Candace K. Ayers, 66 years old, died September 3rd at St. John's Hospital in Springfield, Illinois. According to her obituary, Ayers was fully vaccinated in the spring, but got diagnosed with COVID-19 on July 28th. Her family told the State Journal Register, Ayers' family is heartbroken over her death, and they wanted to send a message to those who still are hesitant about taking the vaccine. Quote, she was preceded in death by more than 4,531,799 others infected with COVID-19. Her family wrote she was vaccinated but was infected by others who chose not to be. The cost was her life. Ayers' 36-year-old son, Mark, confirmed the family's position in an interview with Fox News. Quote, we want to hold every segment of the population accountable and responsible for where we're at today, he said. You know, when you lose somebody in your family, it's hard to come to terms with that loss. It's hard. This guy is obviously dead wrong. I'm really sorry that his mother died. I don't know why she died, but she didn't get COVID-19 because people aren't vaccinated. And again, she was vaccinated, so she should have been protected. Why wasn't she? But how exactly are the unvaccinated the ones who are causing this? She was fully vaccinated and somehow got it. So therefore, her full vaccination status did not save her life. Hers is a case that explains a lot, to be honest. But one thing it doesn't explain in any way, shape, or form is how the unvaccinated somehow made her sick. It just doesn't. It doesn't make any sense. James, West Virginia, what's going on, James? Hi.
How are you? I just wanted to clarify something easy to check. Last week or the week before that, two advertisements from the Red Cross said, I came on the radio, you don't get anything really, your program's great, but the other programs come on that are really good that you get the real stuff come on late. I guess they have to do that. Both times they said, we do not want any COVID blood. Stop COVID blood. Do not come
in. Okay, I did not hear that. I'm going to have to verify that, James. I can't verify it just because of your phone call. I'll have to check it out, and I'll have to check and see if that's in fact the case. I appreciate you calling in. If it's not verified, I can't just put it out on the air. I don't know that to be the case, but I'm happy to look it up. I'm happy to look it up. Another James in Washington on Spicer. What's happening, James? About 1 minute for you. Let's go.
Well, I just want to say that, you know, like going with what Spicer was saying on how we need to fight back. It's hard to fight back when the leftists own all the media. They own the social media. They own mainstream media. So anytime we need to fight back or speak out, they just suppress it or delete it off the internet. So,
well, they've been on my show, so Sean Spicer was able to fight back here. He's able to fight back on his own show on Newsmax TV. I get where you're coming from, and you're pretty much right. They own most of it, but not all of it. We're going to keep our voices loud, that's for sure. The one thing that I'm not good at, and I've never been good at this, and maybe when I get older I'll get good at this, I'm not good at throwing my hands up and giving up. I'm just not. I'm not good at saying, forget it, I'm not going to even try. I'm not good at that. I'll keep on telling the truth on my shows. Sean Spicer will keep on telling the truth on his show and my show when he's on. And we can fight back. That's kind of how we do it. Keep it here. Coming back.
This is The Weekend with Joe Pags. Across America, it's The Weekend with Joe Pags. To talk to Joe, call 800-501-7080. And now, The Weekend. Here's Joe Pags.
Hey, great to have you along for the ride. Thanks a lot for stopping by. Lots going on, lots to get to. Bottom of the hour, it's going to be Sheriff Mark Lamb, Pinal County, Arizona. So make sure that you hang out for that. We've got a great interview with him. He talks about the border because he deals with illegal immigration all the time. We talk about defunding the police. We talk about his TV show, basically, over at AmericanSheriff.com, where you can sort of see live PD, but produced by his own production company, and they're going around and talking to sheriffs around the country to see the great work they're doing and to see their interaction with people. You know, television networks all freaked out after George Floyd and dropped all these great shows that people really were enjoying, Live PD, Cops, America's Most Wanted, so on and so forth. They went away because of fear from BLM or Antifa or whatever. It was very strange. The George Floyd situation was an isolated situation where the guy was brought up on charges and convicted, the police officer involved there. Why that had to do with every part of society still doesn't make any sense to me. So make sure you stick around for that interview at the bottom of the hour. We also have more stuff on COVID. People have been saying that the Red Cross will not allow you to donate if, in fact, you've gotten the vaccine. Is that true? Well, instead of hearing people tell me about it in my chat room, which you can go to joepags.com, click on the video link on the top, and watch the show like a TV show, or instead of having you send me emails, if you're listening on the radio, we love that you listen on the radio, we get great ratings, I decided to go to the Red Cross site and research it that way, which I think is a smart thing to do. The question on the top of the Red Cross site is, can I donate after receiving a COVID-19 vaccine? This is from February of this year, but it's from the Red Cross site, the redcrossblood.org site. As COVID-19 vaccines are being distributed throughout the U.S., what does it mean for blood donors? Great news, if you receive the vaccine, you can still donate blood. platelets, and AB Elite Plasma. Donating blood is essential to help save lives and support the efforts of those on the front lines of the pandemic. So again, this is on the actual website of the American Red Cross, or redcrossblood.org, which is the American Red Cross blood donating website. I would assume they would change this if this were incorrect between February and now, and they wouldn't have this up on their website anymore, but it's still on the website. The question is, can I donate blood after receiving a COVID-19 vaccine? The Red Cross is following FDA blood donation eligibility guidance for those who receive the COVID-19 vaccination. Deferral times for donations may vary depending on which brand of the vaccine you received. If you received a COVID-19 vaccine, you'll need to provide the manufacturer name when you come in to donate. In most cases, there is no deferral time for individuals who received a COVID-19 vaccine as long as they are symptom-free and feeling well at the time of donation. The following eligibility guidelines apply to each COVID-19 vaccine received, including boosters. There is no deferral time for eligibility for eligible blood donors who are vaccinated with a non-replicating inactivated or RNA-based COVID-19 vaccine manufactured by AstraZeneca, Janssen, J&J, that's Johnson & Johnson, Moderna, Novavax, or Pfizer. Eligible blood donors who receive the live attenuated COVID-19 vaccine or do not know what type of COVID-19 vaccine they received must wait 2 weeks before giving blood. If you have an appointment scheduled and need to change your donation, you can click here. If you have further eligibility questions, call here, the 1-800-RED-CROSS. Can I donate COVID-19 convalescent plasma if I have received the vaccination? The FDA allows people who have received a COVID-19 vaccine to donate dedicated COVID-19 convalescent plasma within 6 months of their infection of the virus, based on data that antibodies from natural infection can decline after 6 months. However, the Red Cross has discontinued our convalescent plasma collection program. That's kind of hard to understand. It looks like you can give blood within 6 months of having COVID-19 or getting the vaccine, because the immunity lasts during that time, I would guess. I don't know. Throughout the pandemic, the American Red Cross has adapted its collection of life-saving blood products to meet the needs of all patients, including those battling COVID-19. Currently, our primary efforts are the prioritized expansion of red blood cell and platelet collections to meet surging hospital demand and have discontinued our convalescent plasma program. We will continue to monitor the situation in the context of emerging information, evolution of the pandemic, and the hospital demand to determine if we should resume our convalescent plasma program in the future. So it sounds like they're not collecting plasma at all, if I'm reading that right. But it also sounds like you can donate if you've had the vaccination. Obviously, you go to the website yourself, check it yourself, call the local Red Cross yourself, do what you want to do. But the information, just so you know, the information that was just put in my chat room was incorrect. The information that people have sent me via email, according to the Red Cross, is incorrect. That's why I'm going to go to the Red Cross. Now, if the Red Cross is wrong in what they said on their website, it's on them. I've given proper attribution. I've told you where I got the information. That's how I roll. It's not Joe Pag saying it. It's not somebody in chat saying it. It is the Red Cross saying it. Appears to me you can donate if you've been vaccinated. Appears to me that they're stopping the plasma program until they can figure it out. That's what it appears to me. Do yourself a favor. Go and read it for yourself and decide it for yourself. CNN brought on a guest recently. The guest is Dr. Nguyen. She's a radical leftist, and these are her comments on whether Americans have the right to travel in the time of this pandemic. This is very telling about who the left is.
If you wish to have these privileges, you need to get vaccinated. Travel and having the right to travel interstate, it's not a constitutional right, as far as I know, to board a plane. And so saying that if you want to stay unvaccinated, that's your choice. But if you want to travel, you better go get that vaccine.
Yeah, I mean, and again, she's dead wrong. Of course, it is an American right to travel. The government can't stop you from traveling unless they've got you on a tether and you've been convicted of something, you're out on house arrest or something. They can say if you're out on bail, don't leave the city, don't leave the state. They can say that if there's some sort of a legal issue going on where you are still connected to the court system, the judicial system. What she just said, however, is incorrect. There's no right to travel as far as I know, she says. She's incorrect. There is a right to travel in the United States of America. Is there a right to get on a plane? No. But I think that argument can be made that you do have that right as per your right to travel. Do you have the right to drive without getting a driver's license? You don't. Some of you sovereign citizens think you do. You don't. That is a privilege, and getting a driver's license is something that you agree to a lot of things before you get that license. Well, what if I don't have a license? Can I travel in a car? Well, no. They have the right to regulate the highways and the roadways that are paid for by taxpayer dollars, but they can't stop you from walking down the street if you want. They can't stop you from riding a bike, necessarily, unless they add other laws that are holding up to constitutional muster. It seems to be a gray area. It's not. You have the right to travel. It, however, is not a right that you get on a plane. It is not a right that you drive down the road. But you do have the right to travel. It sounds confusing, but it's not. What she says in context on its face is incorrect and un-American. But CNN has no problem with being incorrect and un-American and bringing somebody on who says something so extremely stupid. 1-800-501-7080, 1-800-501-7080. Or if you're just joining us, a family lost its 66-year-old mother and wife to COVID-19. She was fully vaccinated. The family told Fox News that they blame the unvaccinated for her getting COVID-19 and dying from it, which doesn't make any scientific sense whatsoever. And when people say things like this, it has to be corrected. The unvaccinated did not give this person COVID-19, who was fully vaccinated, who I'm sure thought she couldn't get COVID-19. So clearly, she had it and was vaccinated. If she had it and was vaccinated, she therefore could spread it, even though she was vaccinated. Why you would blame the unvaccinated is just uneducated. And the family's in mourning, and perhaps that's why they said this stuff. But it's just simply not true that the unvaccinated had anything to do with her getting it. Let me go to Martin in Colorado. Martin, what's on your mind? Hi.
Hi, I'm still on. Thank you much for taking my call.
You bet. What's happening?
Well, this is related to the subject of unvaccinated and vaccinated and spreading. I'll give you a basis first. You don't have to believe a word I say. The TV edition of the magazine Nature was published on PBS this last Wednesday night, and their feature was bats, viruses, immunity, humans, and human immunity. So it goes like this. Well, to get to the bottom line is I think there's a distinct possibility, and it's been in the news the last 3 days, coincidentally, that vaccinated humans with elevated immunity can become world-class breeders of worse and worse cases of the virus, COVID, and they can spread it. And that's completely analogous to the way the bats live.
I don't know what the hell you're talking about, Martin. You tell me about some TV show happened 3 days ago. It's been in the news nonstop for 3 days. I haven't heard anything about this. And instead of sending me a link that I can click on and go research for myself, you just said a bunch of stuff that I don't even have a comment on. I mean, what would you like me to say to what you just said?
I'll have to write to you and I'll send you the link.
That'd be great. That'd be perfect. That would absolutely be perfect because what you just said in my little brain doesn't make sense. People who are highly immune can become super spreaders or something. I don't know. Is that the vaccinated you're talking about? The unvaccinated you're talking about? Do I just take your word for it? What I don't want to do is spread any misinformation. So send me the link. I can say, hey, PBS said this because Martin sent me the email to pags@joepags.com. Pags@joepags.com. I don't think my rule is very hard to understand. If you're calling in to tell me what you think you saw somewhere, you read somewhere, or the medical journal said something, simply send it to me. Then you and I can be on the same page. Why is that so difficult? I don't get it. 1-800-501-7080, joepags.com. Stay right here. Sheriff Mark Lamb, Pinal County, Arizona, when we get to the bottom of the hour. For those who don't know, in the radio business or the TV business, when we say bottom of the hour, we're saying the 30 of the hour. When we say top of the hour, we're saying the zero of the hour. Generally speaking, at the top of the hour, there's going to be news and sports and weather and whatever and traffic on your radio station. At the bottom of the hour, usually about the same. Generally speaking, syndicated shows like mine, like this one and the Joe Pags Show, which is Monday through Friday, 6 to 9 p.m. Eastern Time. If your station doesn't have it, ask them what their problem is. They should have the Joe Pags Show. It's a great show, 6 p.m. Monday through Friday. We're on about 150 stations Monday through Friday. But when we say top and bottom, those breaks, generally speaking, are hard breaks. In other words, we have to get out by a certain time or else we'll just be shut off by the computers. At the 15 and 45, generally, they're a little bit more loosey-goosey. You can move those around. They're called movable breaks, something like that. All right? Just let you know, a little inside baseball from the broadcasting industry. All right, let me go to the phone lines. A lot of people have something to say about vaccines. I want you to keep in mind, if you're going to get on the air with me and try to give me some sort of medical fact that I can't back up, don't even stay on the line. Write me an email, pags@joepags.com, P-A-G-S. @joepags.com. Let me go to the phone lines. I appreciate you. It's going to be James in Nebraska. I'm told you're a pastor. What's happening, James? Yeah. Hi.
Yeah, I am a pastor.
Cool.
I've been listening to different news organizations and been listening to you. And
cool.
I've got something that's been bugging me. And ever since this COVID-19 came out, then they got the shots out. Could this be an opportunity that the government could, because we could be divided into four separate parts, Eastern United States, Central, Western, and then Northwestern, so we could be weakened. That would allow basically Russia and China to step in and take us without virtually not having to take a shot. Basically just come in where we're weakened, we're fighting, and we'd welcome somebody to bring peace and basically be conquered.
You think that they're trying to split us into Western, Central, Eastern? If they split us up geographically, I mean, what signals or signs do you see that anybody is splitting us up geographically? You're the first person I've heard say that, and it doesn't make any logical sense because I haven't seen anything happen like that. Fill me in.
Okay. On this mask mandate, the North, South Dakota, Montana, Wyoming, Nebraska, I think Colorado, right down the middle into Texas and into Florida, they're writing a letter. The attorney generals in our state are looking to draw up legal to press it to the Supreme Court that the mandate and the shot cannot legally be done. And as I look at where they're talking, it splits us right down the middle. And
No, it doesn't. Florida's the furthest east that we are. Maybe Maine's a little bit further east, but Florida is nowhere near Nebraska, North Dakota, South Dakota, not even anywhere near Texas. Florida is as far east as you're going to get, and it's also the farthest south you're going to get. As Key West is the bottom of the tip of the Keys. It's the furthest south that you can get in this country. So geographically speaking, they're nowhere near each other. So that doesn't make sense. I'm trying to follow you. How exactly are Nebraska, North Dakota, South Dakota, and Florida in the same realm in your mind?
Well, what I had listened to and have on my phone, Newsbreak, and they're talking about the legislation to push the legal out, how legal this mask mandate is. And
right, I find it to be illegal, so we agree on that. I'm not sure what Newsbreak is, but James, you literally said there's somebody's trying to split us into four geographical spots in the country, and you're putting Florida and Nebraska in the same geographical spot, which they aren't.
Well, the reason I said Florida, because Texas and Florida are kind of on the same lane. That's my understanding. I could be wrong.
On the same lane how? What do you mean?
The laws, the mask mandate.
Yes, Florida and Texas are very similar when it comes to that, yes. But what does that have to do with geography? You said geographically four separate places in the country, and you're not making the geography work in my brain.
Well, if they could divide us, like in the Civil War, it's north and south, but by going east to west and north into west, they could break us all up and get us to fighting amongst ourselves.
I'm going to ask you one last time because I think you sound like a great guy. Tell me how you get North Dakota and Florida on the same geographical plane. How is there a civil war that's going to include Florida and North Dakota on the same side geographically? Fill me in.
Maybe not Florida, yes, it's separate geographically. But I'm seeing everybody's wanting to go to court. The attorney generals, the legal staff of every state are sending letters to say it's not legal. That it can't be mandated. They're mad. And it's like, and Florida was included in that list of all the states. And my thought was, could this be an opportunity for our government to see, okay, we got lawsuits going, let the states separate, go their own way? That would leave us weak.
Hi, James, appreciate you. Oh, lost him. James, listen, stop. Just stop it. Is the government trying to divide us? Yes, of course they are. The vaccinated versus the unvaccinated. The masked versus the unmasked. The black versus the white. The Hispanic versus the black versus the white versus the American Indian versus the Asian. Of course. The rich versus the poor. The left versus the right. Yes, of course they are. That's their game. Divide and conquer. Divide, conquer, and control. But for you to call me and tell me they're trying to split the country geographically into four spots, and you're putting North, South Dakota, and Nebraska in the same spot as Texas and Florida, I'm not following you. So no, I don't see that happening, but I agree, in essence, that they're trying to divide us, as they always have, because if they can divide, they can conquer, they can control, they can keep their elitism and become the kings and queens they think they are. Mark Lamb when we come back. Stay here.
This is The Weekend with Joe Pags.
Great to have you along for the ride. Thanks a lot for stopping by. Always glad to have back my friend. He is the sheriff of Pinal County, Arizona. It's Mark Lamb. Mark, how are you?
I'm doing great. How are you doing, Joe?
I'm doing well, brother. It's good to see you. I hate that we always have to talk about when something's exploding along the southern border, but it's exploding along the southern border. Here in Texas, we know how beside ourselves we are about what's happening in Del Rio. Upwards of 20 to 30,000 people illegally crossing the border in the past 3 or 4 days. Many of them from Haiti, which is an odd place for them to be coming from. What's happening in Arizona? Are you guys seeing the same sort of influx? And when we knew that the Mexico policy was going to go away and that Biden really didn't care about the border, did that change everything for you?
Yeah, it did change everything. When they Biden came in, obviously this has been jacked up since he took office. This shouldn't be a surprise to us as Americans that the border's this messed up and that we have so many people showing up, because we consistently have this administration turning a blind eye to border security and not holding the people accountable that come into this country illegally. So the cartels are taking advantage of it, and so are the people from all over the world. I just talked to the sheriff in the Yuma sector, and he says they just had a group of 140 people from Brazil there.
Wow.
They've had 97 different countries that people have been apprehended from, and they've had almost 20 people from high-profile countries such as Iraq, Afghanistan, Iran, those types of countries. So, yeah, this is a big problem, and we shouldn't be surprised.
You know, are they turning a blind eye to the border, or is this purposeful? I mean, in your, you know, heart of hearts, do you think that the Biden administration wants people to come here illegally? Hopefully they'll become voters one day. What do you think the plan is here? Because I'm not saying that you're wrong. They are turning a blind eye to it, but is there a purpose for why they're doing that?
So I don't know what their purpose is, but Joe, they are turning a blind eye, but it's an intentional blind eye.
Yeah.
They're intentionally not paying attention to this. And I don't know what the reasoning is. I would assume it's probably votes so that they can continue to maintain power. But be honest with you, I think it's to continue to create chaos in America and in our communities, to create chaos for law enforcement, chaos on the border. What this does is, in their mind, this creates more need for big government and more government overreach. And this is exactly what we do not want as Americans. And this is what I fight against every day.
Go to AmericanSheriff.com, AmericanSheriff.com. Get his book. Check out the series, which is sort of a rebirth of Live PD, although it's not called that. But you'll see real sheriffs, real police officers out there on the beat working it to keep us safe. You know, I've got to, as Sheriff Mark Lamb, I've got to ask you about this. In New York, I can't go to a pizza place or a Broadway show or a gym without showing a COVID vaccine passport. I'm told 21% of those coming across the border are COVID-19 positive, and 1% are even wearing masks. Forget about vaccines. Only 1% are wearing masks. Jen Psaki, the press secretary, says, yes, that's the policy. We're pushing mask mandates to employers in America, but we're not pushing that for those coming across the border. Then she gave no reason for that. What are your thoughts?
Oh, I hate it. I hate seeing what they're doing because it's exactly what you just said, Joe. They have a double standard here. They want to continue to poke and prod at the American people, restrict us, take away our freedoms. All the while, they've opened the a wide open door for those coming into this country. They don't care whether they've been, whether they're wearing masks, they're not vaccinating them, they're not doing any of that. And I'm glad they're not vaccinating them, to be honest with you, because they have a choice too. It should be our choice as to whether or not we get vaccinated. But still, nonetheless, they don't care about the American people, only to just continue to just try to put their boot in our throat. And frankly, it's getting tiring, and I know a lot of Americans are fed up with it.
Yeah, you're a law enforcement officer, one that I respect greatly. You know that. If there were a mandate in Arizona, and there isn't, I don't think, but if there were a mandate, you had to wear a you had to show a vaccine passport or wear a mask to go work out at the gym, which keeps us healthy, which helps us fight COVID-19, by the way, would you be forced to enforce that?
Well, no, because mandates and orders are not laws, Joe. It's important. I hope your listeners, if they take away one thing from today's show, it's that mandates and orders are not laws. Until legislature passes it as a law, it is not something that I am required to enforce.
Wow.
And another thing, they cannot tell me as an elected official how I'm supposed to run my agency and what I'm supposed to do with my employees. Those are my decisions and my decisions alone, as I am the elected sheriff for the employees of the Pinal County Sheriff's Office. And that goes for every other elected official out there. And elected officials need to start exercising their authority that they have within their communities and not doing it in a way that is destructive to freedom or America.
It's Sheriff Mark Lamb. Go to AmericanSheriff.com. Go and get his book as well. And check out this incredible series of law enforcement officers and sheriffs out there working the beat and keeping us safe. They're protecting and serving like they always have. No matter how badly the left beats down on them, they're going to do their jobs and do it right. As you know, 11% of those who apply for asylum in America get it. 11. 89% are turned away. Mark, why would we ever have a policy where we allow everybody to come here first and then try to weed out the 89% to send them back? Why not stop them before ever coming in and only those 11% that do get granted asylum because they're being persecuted, prosecuted because of their religious beliefs, they're being killed, whatever. Why would we allow them all to come first and then push the 89% back? Isn't it easier to keep them out?
Absolutely. You're right, Joe. You're thinking in common sense terms, and it's a flat out lie. That's a bunch of BS anyway. They're only turning away about 10%.
Wow.
They're actually letting 90% come in. And those are numbers coming straight from inside sources along the border at Border Patrol and ICE. This is a bunch of BS. They're playing games because they know that they don't want this to hit the public because they don't want to be called to the carpet with this Supreme Court ruling that says that they're supposed to return to Mexico. They need to go back to what President Trump's policies were, and they're doing everything they can to play around with semantics and lie to the American people because they don't want to get caught doing what they're not supposed to be doing. And that's letting people in here.
Well, exactly right. It's Sheriff Mark Lamb. You don't have a Del Rio going on right now in Pinal County. And for those, I always get this email from some idiot. Oh, geographically, he's not on the border. Yes, you are, because there's an Indian reservation that's on the border, and that borders with your county, right?
Yeah, and I never claimed to be on the border. We're 50 to 60 miles off the border. But I'll challenge any one of those guys who run their mouths about that. Come to my county and let me show you what I deal with, and then you determine whether or not I have a border security issue.
And you do.
Military age men come into my county all day long, and they're in my desert all day long. They bring drugs into my community.
Right.
So whether I'm on the border or not, which I never claimed to be, this is a fight that I have every single day because of that Native American reservation.
Well, I've called you a border sheriff because you are the first county when they leave the reservation is Pinal
yep.
County. So you are dealing with the border crisis. Having said that, you're not dealing with Del Rio specifically, where I think they've got 12,000 people under a bridge right now waiting to come in. It's an unarmed invasion is what it is. How would you react as the sheriff of your county if 12,000 people from Haiti and wherever else were on the border and were just going to walk in? Can you arrest them? Can you do anything? Do you have to wait till Biden tells you what you can do? What's the action you take?
Well, you can't wait till Biden tells us what to do, because he's not going to do anything. They
right.
haven't done anything this year thus far. So I'd be on the phone with the governor making sure that we get as many National Guard and everybody. Call out everybody. Let's get them down there on the border. I would go down and support to the other border agencies, send my guys down there, do what we can to ensure that we keep our borders safe from this. You know, it's bad enough as it is, but to allow groups of 10,000 people, you don't know what they're bringing in. We're only talking about COVID, Joe, but there's scabies, tuberculosis. There's so many other things that these folks are bringing in to this country. And not to mention, there's a 600% increase in those with criminal history, which the large percentage of those are sex offenders that have been arrested here, charged before, convicted, and now they're back in our country again. I have a problem with that, as should every other American.
Mark, do we have a way to vet these people? Do we have any idea who they are? They've got false papers or no papers.
I
don't know.
How do you vet 10,000 people? You can't vet 10,000 people if you had a whole army of people, which they've been doing. Not to mention how ineffective they've been at bringing volunteers from all the other organizations without the federal government. A total misuse and waste of government dollars. This administration is so out of control, so out of touch. They are just destroying this country, and I think they're doing it on purpose. Shame on them. I hope that in 2022, we send a strong message and boot these idiots out of office.
You and the other border sheriffs were contacted a lot by the Trump administration. You actually went to the White House several times. They wanted to work with you to find out, what do you need? How can we help? How can we solve it? How can we fix it? All right, have you heard from this administration at all?
Not a single time. I was supposed to have a meeting with, I was at the Major County Sheriff's Association. We were supposed to have an in-person meeting with Mayorkas. Instead, he just did it video televised. We couldn't ask any questions. And, you know, look, I would have been respectful because they deserve the respect. As you know, I'm always that way. But at the same time, I would have asked the tough questions and I would have wanted answers as to what their plan was to deal with these issues along the border. And we didn't get that chance, unfortunately. They've severed that line of communication with my office, and it's unfortunate.
Go to AmericanSheriff.com. Check out this incredible series. What is the series called, Mark?
It's called American Sheriff Network, and what we're doing is we're just showcasing the great work that the men and women who put on the badge every day. We're actually doing it through the eyes of the sheriff's offices across this country. We highlight the elected sheriffs, and we also showcase America. They get to see the beautiful parts of America and the different counties. It's awesome. It's real sheriffs, real stories, and we're putting you back in the front seat of the car as well.
You know, what's interesting is last time we spoke, I was like, hey, come to Texas, come and do it here. You said we can't by law, and I was like, really? So I checked into it, and I guess somebody died while Live PD was filming, and Live PD didn't cause it, certainly. And because of that, there were lawsuits and several other things were going on. And yes, they actually, in a Republican-run Senate and House here, and a Republican governor signed into law that you can't do reality police TV in Texas. I think that was a capitulation that shouldn't have happened. And I'm not necessarily asking for you to light up the management here in Texas, but what the heck, man? We're the Lone Star State. We're law enforcement. We are pro-gun, pro-Second Amendment. Somebody dies in some sort of interaction with police, investigate it, find out what happened, and then move forward. I was very surprised to see that happen. So I appreciate you highlighting that to me, because I was like, come on to San Antonio. Let's do it, Mark. And you were absolutely right about that. You can't do it here, can you?
Yeah. You know, and it is disappointing, Joe. You bring up a good point. This is a red state. But then they did something that we always called it Operation Knee-Jerk Reaction, where we change everything because of one incident.
Absolutely.
You know, look, we always do the best we can to reduce risk, and we want to make sure that people don't get hurt. But life is full of risk. This is what I always talk about when we talk about COVID. Every day I walk out the door, I see people die of many different things. I see, you know, car accidents, overdoses, suicides at the hands of other people, cancer. There's so many, you know, this is, life has tragedy, and yeah, it's unfortunate. We deal with it the best we can. But to change the rules and the laws because of one thing, that's what we do here in America now, and it's not leading us down a good path.
I agree with you. Sheriff Mark Lamb, AmericanSheriff.com. Go there, check out his series, American Sheriff. One last question. As you're out and about and shaking hands and kissing babies and all that, and you're doing your series, are you hearing from the American people that they don't want to defund the police, that they actually support the police? I think a study was done, 60% of even black Americans, one study said 70% of black Americans don't want to defund the police, and certainly everybody else doesn't want to either. What are you hearing when you directly talk to people?
Oh, everywhere I go, everybody thinks the exact same thing, that this is the dumbest idea. Look, even a lot of, I heard even Obama say, hey, that they use the wrong vernacular. It doesn't mean he doesn't want to defund police.
Right.
He just, he agrees that they used the wrong terms. Defunding police is dumb. Everywhere they've done it, they've had to walk it back. They've actually had to refund their police even more. I'm looking at doing some ballot measures that will ensure that municipalities and agencies cannot defund their police. And so we're going to do what we can through Protect America Now, and hopefully people will check that out as well at protectamericanow.com. These are sheriffs fighting for the American people, trying to uphold the rule of law, and fight against bad policies as well.
It's Sheriff Mark Lamb, AmericanSheriff.com. Go there, get his book. For the American Sheriff series, before I let you go, what is it, like $5 a month, something like that, to subscribe to go and watch?
Yeah, it's actually a penny cheaper than that. It's $4.99.
Bam. At five, I was a little bit, come on. $4.99, Mark, I'm in.
Yeah, $49.99 is a no-brainer. Look, the reason we did that is so they can't cancel us, because if we would have done it on any other channel, we run the risk of being canceled. Yeah. This way, they can't cancel us, and we are also able to deliver that without being bogged down with ads and advertisements and all that stuff. So we're just trying to deliver what these men and women do every day and their stories, and they deserve to have their voices heard because they do a great job. Kudos to all the law enforcement people out there. You're in my prayers.
And kudos to you as well. We appreciate what you do, Mark, for Arizona, for Pinal County, and for America. Thanks a lot for coming on, as always, and thanks for your friendship. Let's do it again soon.
Thank you, Joe. Appreciate it, brother.
All right, brother. We're back after this. Stay right here. Stop by. Thanks a lot for being here the weekend with Joe Pags. 1-800-501-7080. 1-800-501-7080. If you're watching on the stream, or if you're actually listening live on the radio, I'm going to continue going a little bit where I do a little singing and stuff on something I call J-Pod Joe Pags Overtime on the stream. So stop by JoePags.com. After we're off the radio, we will continue over there a little bit, sing a couple of songs, hang out a little bit. We do that on the web only. So go to JoePags.com, click on the Twitch stream. Let me grab a phone call or two before we have to get out of here. Let me say hello and welcome to line two. And Chris is in Wisconsin. Hi, Chris. What's going on?
Hey, good afternoon, Joe. This first time caller. I love your show.
Cool, man. Thanks. What's happening?
I'm just calling about the vaccine. I had Corona back in June of 2020. Light case of it. Came out of it fine and dandy. Fast forward to December of this past year, I had a doctor's appointment and I requested an antibodies test to see how I was doing, and kind of got shot down on that. And 3 months ago, I had blood work done again and I requested it, and they finally approved it and went through and came back. I have high antibodies, and then I had another test last week, and I still have high antibodies. The parameters were plus or minus 80, and I had 250. So the doctor still was saying I should get the shots, and I politely refused. And sorry, a little nervous here.
No reason to be nervous. So you're saying you had COVID a long time ago. You still have high antibodies, and you're thinking, why should I take the vaccine if already I've got natural immunity? And there are a lot of doctors that agree with you. So maybe I would look into another doctor. Not that your doctor sucks or anything, but maybe look into another doctor, somebody who has a little more expertise, because if you've got natural immunity and high antibodies, why would you go and get the vaccine? I'm not sure why you would do that.
Exactly, and especially being almost a year and a half ago. So I think the antibodies are lasting probably a lot longer than, people probably think. And my wife, she's a nurse. She lives with me, of course. But she finally was able to get tested last week. And she's never had symptoms or whatever. And it came to be that she has antibodies also. But with the new mandate from our great Mr. President, she works at a hospital that has more than 100 people. So it might come down to where she either has to get the shot, which she will not get, or being getting fired. So There's a lot of people in our communities, you know, a lot of people in the healthcare industry that do not want to get the shot. So with hospitals running short on staff, I would just like to hopefully somebody gets their head out of their butt and says, hey, we cannot lose this many healthcare professionals.
Well, I'm with you, and I appreciate that. I'm glad that you're healthy. And, you know, your wife taking a stand makes a lot of sense. There are a lot of people talking about mass walkouts at jobs that are trying to force vaccines. It is up to us. If you want to get a vaccination, go and get it. I'm not against it. I'm not going to be getting it because I don't feel like I need it. My doctor doesn't feel like I need it, so I'm not going to get it. But there should be some ability for workers in America, Americans, to say, hey, this is not a medical procedure I want you to force on me, and your business will suffer if you try to take that stance. That's Damian. I'm Joe Pags. Make sure that you hang out with us again next week. Have a great weekend.
This is The Weekend with Joe Pags.